This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hour number two is here, and hour number two of the Gabe Kuhn Show is presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now to see the Showboats at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. Three of the last four games are at home, and they're offering $2 beers and $2 hot dogs if you show up to the game. So, hey, why not? Why not? But without further ado, we bring on Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Also, he is a columnist at the Daily Memphian. On X, Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good. How do you feel about barbecue nachos? You a fan?
I am a huge fan. I mean, that's one of those things. Like, how can you really go wrong? Are you anti barbecue nachos?
No,
why do you ask?
I freaking love barbecue nachos. Harrington's not a fan because, you know, he doesn't like the goopy cheese and whatever. Although the truth matter is, I had. The owner of the commissary on, Mark Taylor, on today, because there's this controversy about how the barbecue nacho came to be. And I didn't even ask for this call. We just started talking about, because the Redbirds are doing their, you know, they're turning themselves into the barbecue nachos for 2 days coming up, and they're wearing a barbecue nacho uniform and a barbecue nacho logo hat and all that. So we started talking about whether barbecue nachos have always existed, right? I mean, we've talked about earlier that once upon a time, when I was a youth, there was no such thing as chicken fingers. Like, all we think these things have lasted forever, but that's not true. And barbecue nachos didn't always exist. And evidently, and Chris said growing up, he grew up in Memphis, he did not grow up eating barbecue nachos. And there's this sense that they were created sort of in and around AutoZone Park. And what seems to be the real story is that they were created, the commissary was doing, they had a standout somewhere. Maybe it was connected with the horse show that they had out there in Germantown. And an employee named Rosie, maybe? Uh-huh. Maybe, I think Rosie, that she decided to put barbecue on the nachos, and she was eating them herself.
God love Rosie.
And a customer came up and said, what does she have on hers? And, she put some pulled pork on there. I'd like some of that. Would that be – how much would that be extra? And Walker Taylor said, $1? And all of a sudden they started selling barbecue nachos. And that's – now, they were then popularized at Tim McCarver Stadium. And this is when I first remember them. And Tim McCarver is the place where I first ate them before AutoZone Park existed. And that was – Hog Wild produced them there, and then once you got to AutoZone Park, it was the Rendezvous that had the barbecue nachos. They started making them there before they ever had them at the restaurant, and now of course everyone has them. They're fantastic. In fact, you can make an argument that the maybe this is controversial, that the highest and best use of pork is on a barbecue nacho.
I think I'm with you. I like your argument. And here's how much I like barbecue nachos. I like them more than traditional nachos, truthfully.
Oh, they're much better than
like with guac and sour cream and pico. No, give me as much barbecue meat, chicken, pork, whatever it is. Throw it on there.
100%. No, I think meat makes barbecue, but makes nachos better. I mean, the question is that traditional nachos, what if they have like hamburger stuff on them or something, or chicken, whatever. But I think they're better than, the only question is are they better than, I think it's better than a pulled pork sandwich, I'll be honest. I think, are they better than ribs? Are they better than ribs?
Oh, good ribs, good wet ribs. I don't know.
I think ribs might be better than barbecue nachos.
Okay, that's tough. I think I would frequent, nachos more. I frequent nachos more than like ribs. Ribs are more of a delicacy every once in a while thing for me.
Well, even though
different categories.
Yeah, so we were talking about even though barbecue nachos are something that's really messy to eat at the ballpark.
Sure,
but we eat them at our ballpark.
Yeah.
You don't go and order a rack of ribs and sit down on C12 and be eating your rack of ribs, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So, although it's weird, they come with their own handles, whereas barbecue nachos are sort of a mess. I ate barbecue nachos the other day. I got them at the at FedEx Forum for one of the playoff games. And tell me how controversial is this. I ate the entire barbecue nachos without using a fork.
That's not controversial at all.
You use your fingers. You don't use a fork at all.
Yeah,
Drew Hill used a fork. Drew Hill used a fork.
Nachos are finger food. We don't need. I mean, if you have leftover like meat at the bottom of it, sure, use a fork. If it's just too goopy, but usually there's a little sliver of dry chip that I can pick up. There's usually a little sliver of dry chip I can pick up.
There's sometimes at the beginning, it's sort of like reverse Jenga or whatever. Like at the beginning, you can do that. You can always find a half of a chip. It's half dry, half soaked, and that's fine. If you're getting in the middle there, there are sometimes chips that are completely, if they've done it right, there's no way. There's no dry surface. You might be able to use another chip to hold that wet soaking chip up and convey it into your mouth. But there are some chips that done right don't have a single dry spot on them.
And I'll say this. You said earlier that Chris Harrington is not a fan of barbecue nachos, and he doesn't like.
I don't want to misrepresent him.
He doesn't really like the nacho cheese, like the
he doesn't like that lurid orange cheese.
I can't eat barbecue nachos without that being on them. Like that to me is like the whole allure. That's the thing. Like just sprinkled cooked cheese. I need some nacho. I need the fakest cheese in America on my barbecue nachos.
I don't know. I
borderline cheese whiz on my barbecue nachos.
You do need it to be hot and gooey, but how, can it still be high quality and be hot and gooey? I don't know. And I don't really have an opinion on where the best barbecue nachos are. I like the AutoZone Not Park nachos because I've eaten them the most because I've eaten them at the ballparks, right? And I know they're great. And so I've said that they are the best, but I don't know that I've ever had the commissary's barbecue nachos. Or like when I go to the barbecue shop, I don't really get the barbecue nachos. Then I get like a pork plate or something. So with the Texas toast.
Yeah.
So go to Payne's. I don't even have barbecue nachos. I think they just do the barbecue sandwich there, right? So, so I haven't eaten everyone's barbecue nachos, but I'm a fan of barbecue nachos. And we had a lively call on my show today discussing the origins of the barbecue nacho.
Well, lively in what way? What happened?
Well, there's controversy over the.
Oh yeah,
over the conflicting claims of who created them.
Okay,
that was some tough language actually.
I got you. The
phrase "lying" was used.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
this got contentious. This is real contentious.
It got a little contentious. You can listen to the podcast second hour.
I might
anyway.
Need to. All right, now. Yeah. There will be a lot of people enjoying barbecue nachos when Louisville actually shows up and plays a game at FedEx Forum. But what'd you think? 6-year series for Memphis and Louisville, renewing, whether it was Metro, Missouri Valley, Conference USA, beginning of the American Athletic Conference. Obviously, it's another bit of proof that Penny Hardaway does have a lure and he can schedule very well in the out-of-conference. But this is definitely a fun one for the fans. No doubt.
Yeah, nothing not to like. And, we've talked about, the difficulty of getting people to go down to watch meaningless games, and this is literally the opposite of that. This is an incredibly compelling game with the longest-standing rival. People know the stories of, whether it's Fred Horton or whether it's Darius Washington or whatever, you know, whatever story you want to invoke, the rich history of these teams. But I was just talking to John Martin about this, and the point he made is like, yeah, the history's great. The history is what, you know, it gives it a lot of its emotional resonance here. But unless the Memphis brand was still strong, a program like Louisville wouldn't sign on for 6 years. You know what I mean? Like, it is what you just said. It's testament to the power of Penny Hardaway and of the enduring Memphis brand that they can get a series like this. And so it's certainly to be celebrated.
Yeah, and Louisville is going to be damn good next year. I mean, they might be a top 10 team by the time they face the Tigers.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, that never seems to faze Penny. You know, I have to give him all the credit in the world for that. It just does not faze Penny. Yeah. You know, he a lot of coaches say, we'll play anyone, anywhere, we'll do whatever. And Penny's the guy who walks the walk on that front.
Yeah.
And so, yes, Louisville will be very good. And if Dane Danger plays for Memphis, Memphis will be very good.
For sure. Speaking of that, something that has to do with that, latest reports we've gotten from the P.J. Haggerty sort of side of things, the recruitment, is that Memphis has pulled out. Is that we can just, you know, operate with that in mind, that Penny has decided to move on from P.J. Haggerty. Right or wrong decision, considering the way this offseason has gone?
Oh, I mean, we may have mentioned this. Did they pull out because they were told they couldn't get him anyway? You know, really, like in the
maybe,
end, like, they know they're not going to get him anyway. So, sure, and that, given that, it's the right decision. Just move on emotionally. You know, I think there comes a time when you just say, all right, fine. You know, I don't think, like I said, we have talked about this. I don't think, like, I think if Tennessee had wanted to, they still could have had Nico, right? They, in the end, said, the hell with it. We're done with this nonsense. And it was at some cost to them, I think, probably, in terms of W's and L next. You know, that is a putting your principles, in place. I think this is a little different. I think this is Memphis saying, you know what, let's be real here. We're not getting them. So given that, why should we keep, you know, have them use us as the ultimate backstop? Even if there's some 5 to 10% chance, let's move on emotionally, because we really have to focus on assembling our own team. And that seems to make sense.
Yeah, and for me, I don't know. I talked myself into it just being the right decision, even if they had a chance for him, just because ultimately, if he joins this team with the way it's constructed, that could cause a little bit of disruption. Obviously, you want a second team, unanimous All-American. You want that guy. But at the same time, they have recruited over him. And they have recruited with the thought in mind that
he's not
going to be.
They recruited around him.
Okay, right. That's fair. But they have recruited with the thought in mind that he's not going to be on this team.
Right. I think that's right.
Yeah. So we'll see.
But he's not. Like, when David Jones decided not to come, I do think that even then, it was there were ripples and they were, the sky is falling. But I think David Jones is, and we've said it before, I don't think he was a winning basketball player. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's true of P.J. Haggerty. You know, P.J. Haggerty didn't seem to be.
Jeff, I think he's a winning basketball player, but I do have questions about if he is your lead guy, what is your peak? Like, what can you actually accomplish? Right? You can accomplish probably Sweet 16, something like that. But, like, I don't know. I've tried to think about his game. Not much of a shooter. Not really great at facilitating. There is some drawbacks to having P.J. Haggerty as your lead guy. Maybe at, you know, the bigger schools, for sure. At Memphis, you always take a guy like that who can give you that type of ceiling.
Yeah, but I don't think he's a person who insists on the ball all the time. You know, but maybe, whatever. The nice thing is that we don't have to worry about this.
Yeah,
he's not going to be back here. So, hope he enjoys NC State.
All right, Memphis Pac-12. Have you seen this stuff? We have John Canzano, who's done radio in Oregon for as long as I can remember, and he's very plugged into the Pac-12. He wrote about Memphis and Tulane to the Pac-12. He says that Memphis and Tulane aren't wild about sending their Olympic sports to the Pacific time zone. Of course, that makes sense. They wouldn't be wild about it because they'd have to spend a whole lot more money. But he brought up the idea that maybe Memphis could be a Pac-12 football school only, and then decide what they want to do with basketball and Olympic sports. Do you like that idea?
Well, I mean, it depends where basketball goes, right? I mean, I saw Dan Wolkin said, wouldn't it be great to be Pac-12 football only and basketball in the Big East?
Yep.
You know, that'd be fun. You know, sign me up for that right now. I think it's very clear. Like, and I think Ed was pretty clear when they you know, didn't accept the PAC's invitation last time. He likes to call them the PAC. That it is financial, but it's also, and I think it's mostly financial, but it's also insanity to send your volleyball team.
Yeah,
to, you know,
sure.
It's just crazy. You know, and I don't think that was nothing. I don't think that was a meaningless part of the decision. And so, yeah, if all you have to do is send your football team, I think, you know, a limited number of games, I think that's makes a vast difference. And so I think that would be, you know, depending on obviously where basketball lands, I think it sounds like a creative solution. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do. Could you go Big East for all Olympic sports too, or would you have to go somewhere else, maybe Sun Belt or something
question.
Like that?
That's above
my head. I don't know. I have no idea about that.
Yeah, I don't know if you can be in three different places. You know, I don't know how that works. That would be, in fact, a good scenario. You know, a little more geographically. And I don't know if you saw this, but the guy who along with Nick Saban is supposed to be heading up this commission. If you read what he has written about college sports, he's sort of an interesting guy. Mm-hmm. Because
talking about Cody
believe,
Campbell, the
yeah,
Texas Tech the Campbell, NIL collective guy, yeah, and oil natural gas guy.
Right. But if you read what he's actually said about college sports, and I don't believe that he will carry the day over Nick Saban or anyone else, or in terms of what this commission will ultimately do or be able to do. But he has called for conferences that make sense geographically, as opposed to what we have now. And he has called for deep revenue sharing, so there's not just basically haves and have-nots of TV money, as opposed to what we have now. Which is kind of like, do I believe that he can bring either of those things to bear?
Right.
No. It sounds like nirvana. Honestly, would I be for it? 100%. Like, it would, you know, if we could invent the wheel, you know, the wheel all over again, that's how I would do it. But kind of interesting. So, yes. If you could, I would be all for this. I mean, I think we've seen it. I think we've seen the level of, just be honest, boredom with the Memphis football and basketball schedules.
Yeah.
And so if there is a creative solution like this, and you can roll your eyes all you want and say, well, Boise State is in Alabama. No, it's not Alabama, but it's better than what they got. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it just is. And so
better
yeah,
than Trent would, Dilfer's UAB team, I can tell you that.
Better than Trent Dilfer's UAB team. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
there's no question.
I if people are against this idea, I don't really understand it. I think this would be really cool. Obviously, you'd have to find your way out of the AAC and deal with a buyout and everything else or an exit fee, but
right.
I think this would be best case scenario. And dare I say your favorite term, I think you'd be having your cake and eating it too to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John's really good, by the way. He's a former newspaper guy who then started doing radio on the side. And, yes, he's as plugged in as there is with this diminished conference. So, literally, there may be no one else who is better informed on this than John.
What do you? By the way, you brought up the College Athletics Commission that the president is hatching with Nick Saban and Cody Campbell.
Right.
What do you even think about it, really? Like, to me, I think I view it as a skeptic more than it actually changing anything.
So.
This is the president trying to be popular like he always does. And it just seems like a grandstanding thing to me.
Well, to me, I'll be honest. I don't like, I mean, people may know. People may have been able to figure out if they're really closely listening to my show that I'm not the biggest fan of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, I'm whatever. Like, if he thinks he can weigh in here, like, what? I mean, the truth of the matter is, he does a billion things by executive order. Like, that's what he's done. And if he wants to do another, you know, here, whatever, that wouldn't surprise me. To me, here's the skepticism. It's less about the motivation for this or whatever else than it is fundamentally. The challenge is you can't have any constraints, which we've talked about a million times, on any meaningful real constraints on the movement or the amount of money that athletes, college athletes, can get without it being a violation of antitrust law. And so in the end, what the colleges have always wanted is a legislative exemption, some sort of, yes, antitrust exemption from the antitrust laws. I don't know, and I should ask my brother who's an antitrust professor, I don't know if such an exemption can be created by executive order. I think it can't be. I think you have to have legislation, in which case this would be what this commission does is totally meaningless if all it leads to is an executive order from Trump, because it won't be enforceable. But that's my understanding. I don't think that this commission is going to be able to come up with legislation, likely at least, that's going to carry the day and be passed, because it's A, they have bigger fish to fry, and B, there's varying opinions on all this stuff. So to me, the reason I'm skeptical is that they'll come up with some stuff, but will it be stuff that is actually legally enforceable?
Yeah.
I think the odds are very long that they can do that.
And when can you actually act on them? How long will it take to act?
Right.
I think that's the biggest question everybody has. NBA playoffs. Round two has been phenomenal, Jeff. This stretch of games. Last five games that have been played have been decided by a bucket or less. I mean, this is great. We've had three straight nights, 20-point comebacks.
You have a holy F moment. Every night, it's like, holy,
I know this sounds like a hot take and a reach, but like, right. this stretch of basketball since the round two began is probably the best stretch of pure, compelling basketball I've seen in my lifetime in the NBA.
Yeah, it's been unbelievably great. And even last night, the Oklahoma City game, I got to watch to hope they could get to 52. I was rooting right. for them to beat them by 52. Even the blowout from Memphis fans could have been interesting. So, no, it's been incredible. I mean, you cannot believe what you're watching, game in and game out. To me, the only question that it raises, this is a point Jeffrey raised, was the contrast between this and the regular season is more jarring than in any other sport. That you have guys playing through. Do you believe that? That's one of the things he said. Yeah, clearly NBA playoff basketball is better than ever, but it is juxtaposed against the regular season that no one even seems to care about or care whether they're playing well or whatever else.
They sit out on a consistent basis. I don't know if I'm talking about like pure jump of level of excitement, and 162 MLB regular season's really hard for me to stay engaged with. Then you get into the playoffs, and it really all heats up. Hockey, though, I can't give hockey credit. During the regular season, they always play. They have a broken leg. They'll play game, 79. They don't really care. So, like, I don't know if it's that much of a leap. It just becomes more compelling because of what's on the line in the NHL. I would say Major League Baseball, I think, is the biggest difference to me from regular season to the playoffs.
By the way, speaking of gripping, can't believe what I just saw moments in the world of sports and the playoffs, how much of a Blues fan are you still?
Oh, God, I'm a huge Blues fan.
That was unbelievable.
Connor is going to the computer to try to pull up this sound. I don't need to hear it again, Connor. We put this to bed.
Six, like of all the things, like you can say that the Celtics have blown it, which they have in their first two games. But as badly as the Celtics blew it, what happened to the St. Louis Blues, that was an elimination game. I mean, that was a game seven, and they were winning with 2 seconds to go.
They did irreparable damage. They did irreparable damage to me with that. That was so terrible.
Unbelievable.
And my wife laughing directly in my face because she's a Preds fan when it went in. Oh, come on.
Oh,
unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary. And also, what makes it worse?
I would feel bad for you if it weren't for the fact that you just got a cup, so I'm not going to.
What makes it worse, too, is, I don't know, it was like the 32nd March. Pavel Buchnevich had just this wide-open, empty netter that he could have put in, and he sailed it from the other side of the ice. Take a little bit off
of it. That's what happens. When you lose a game that is crushing, all you have to do is ask the Celtics. You go back and you look at the seven things that could have happened, and if any one of them had happened differently, you would have ended up winning. And obviously,
going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Buchnevich is certainly one an example of that.
Yeah, and then they go a full over. I did want it to just
they
end.
Weren't going
to
win the cup, though. They were going to lose to Dallas anyway, and that.
Yeah, I got to be honest though. I once it got to overtime though, I just wanted it to end. The fact that it had to get to a second overtime was just it was horrible for me. I had to stay up till 10:30 to watch my team just inevitably. I knew they were going to lose after that. There's just no way they were going to win. My gosh, that sucked.
It's been great stuff for those of us who don't have we don't have a dog in the fight. It's been gripping, both in the NBA and the NHL.
You theoretically have a dog in the fight in the NHL, but they just suck.
Yeah, no.
Are they ever going to get good again?
The Buffalo Sabres, it's like they exist to alienate and piss on, their fans. So let me just rant for a moment. 14 years without making the playoffs. In a sport where half the teams make the freaking playoffs, okay? And then, by the way, they keep trading off players who go on to win cups with other teams. And so you would think...
Shout out Ryan O'Reilly, by the way. Love Ryan O'Reilly.
You would think that maybe the general manager, who has just provided over 5 straight years without going to the playoffs, not coming close. Honestly, each of the last 3 years, gotten further from the playoffs, has regressed in point total each of the last 3 years. You would think they might fire him. No. They decide to retain him, and in addition, they go out. Their big changes. They hire a special assistant to the general manager, Eric Staal. Now, Eric Staal is known for 2 things. One, he was a member of the Carolina team, the cup winning team that beat the Sabres to win the Stanley Cup. And later on, when he was traded to the Sabres, he said, "Quote." If I had had a no trade clause, the Sabres would have been on it. Or he would have said something like, I thought the Sabres were on it. That's how much he loves this franchise. He was a dog with the franchise for about 25 games when he played there a few years ago. And it is as if you are doing things in order to enrage your fan base, which is already, shrunk to the board, impossible apathy for a great hockey town.
Do you still get outrageous. Hyped up for game one with the Buffalo Sabres? Do you still get hyped up for the NHL season to a certain extent?
Yeah. Oh, no, I still talk myself.
But you just let yourself down for 14 years straight.
I have moments of I'll be excited for when free agency starts again. And then the Sabres are the only team over the last 10 years, six years in a row, I think it is. They've been at least $6 million under the cap. Everyone else spends to the cap, unless you're a truly tanking team, in which case for a couple of years you don't. Sabres are $6 million under the cap every freaking year. I mean, it's just there are moments of quiet, But then you, as a fan, you're like, well, maybe this is a year. Maybe. Rasmus Dahlin, they could just get a little goaltending.
Maybe not these 14 years, but year 15.
Right.
Come on.
Sometime in the next 14 years, you're not going to go another 14 years. Well, here's the thing. We had a very similar stretch, like the longest playoff stretch in the NFL was the Bills, right? And the Bills finally made the playoffs on the great miracle play by Cincinnati beating the Ravens a few years ago. Do you remember that one?
Yep.
And so that was a huge drought for the Bills. And after that, there's been not Super Bowl glory, but great, yeah. Real excellence, consistent excellence. So maybe you just have to make it through the dark times, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and then there's white smoke. And then there's the Pope from Chicago.
Yes. You think they had Chicago dogs for dinner last night when they decided?
It's like the Masters. It's like the Masters thing. Masters dinner. You get to pick the dinner.
Yeah.
You can have Chicago dogs and eat this pizza, which, by the way, overrated. Overrated.
Well,
as compared to it is overrated. It's too heavy. Can't eat three slices.
Well, is the body of Christ now going to be deep dish?
The body of Christ is going to be deep dish.
There
you go.
Instead of the crackers, yeah. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it.
I've gone on too long. See you again. Bye.
That is Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X. Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show weekdays, 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. On the Chicago dog front, have you ever had a Chicago dog?
I have.
Do you like it?
I do.
Do you enjoy Chicago dogs? Okay.
I don't think they're the greatest thing in the world.
Too many fixins
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, but it was good. I was like, this is a good hot dog. I'm fewer fixins for sure on my hot dogs.
Yeah.
I'm like, ketchup, mustard, I'm good to go.
Exactly.
I'm good to go. That's all I need.
Like, I don't, dressing up hot dogs like that, maybe a chili cheese dog's where I draw my line.
Listen, give me the Costco dog.
Yeah. Give me a plain damn hot dog out of either off the grill or out of the water and put it on a bun and give me ketchup and mustard. And that's how I enjoy it.
I'm a simple man.
Seriously.
I see a dog, I see some ketchup, I see some mustard, and I eat it.
Yes, 110%. All right, now John Canzano, who is a longtime newspaper guy, does radio in Oregon, and covers the Pac-12 very closely, has written a report about Memphis and the Pac-12. Is there any interest there? What could potentially happen? We'll tell you what he said next. Appreciate Jeff Calkins joining us and also bringing the conversation to Barbecue Nachos, because SmokeSlam 2025 is right around the corner. It's next weekend. The world's ultimate barbecue showdown is back here at Tom Lee Park on the riverfront in Memphis. It's May 15th through the 17th. Now, there's going to be 75 teams out there. There's going to be all the barbecue you could possibly want to eat, and $250,000 is going to be on the line for all of these teams. But of course, you're going to want the barbecue, but it's more than that. Bring the kids out, bring the family out. There's going to be fireworks every night. They're going to have a Ferris wheel, fairground fun. You can go meet some of the people that are making your food. Book signings, all that will be available for you. And then the music, great music lineup. Shane Smith and the Saints, the Revivalists, Big and Rich will be on hand. Southern Avenue. 3-day passes and single-day tickets are on sale now. Make sure you go and get them at SmokeSlam.com. Again, that is SmokeSlam.com. And VIP experiences are also available. All you have to do, go to SmokeSlam.com. All right, now Memphis to the Pac-12. Is it still on the table? I'm not fully sure, but we did have John Canzano write about it. And John Canzano is an old newspaper guy in the state of Oregon, does radio there, but he's been plugged into the Pac-12 as long as I can remember. And what he wrote about Memphis is quite interesting. Now, we do know the first part of this. What he wrote was Memphis and Tulane are still out there, but it would surprise me if the Pac-12 took them as all sports options. Sources at those schools aren't wild about sending their Olympic sports athletes to the Pacific time zone. I think the ADs in the Pac-12 feel the same about flying volleyball, baseball, and softball players eastward. We know the reason that Memphis did not take the original deal as an all-sport school in the Pac-12 because of all of the costs it would take to move around all these different teams. So that makes a whole lot of sense. But John Canzano brought this forward. He said maybe the Pac-12's best play is to take UNLV and or Texas State and then try to add Memphis and or Tulane in football only. I really like this idea. I don't know how you'd have to execute it. I don't know what the AAC could do to stop it. We'd have to see what the exit fees are and everything else. But imagine a world where Memphis football gets to play Boise State and San Diego State, all these good football schools. Then they could go outsource, go to a different conference for Olympic sports and basketball. And I think the conference that would be fun, if you're pairing it, you go to the Big East for basketball. There have been discussions about that in the past, but because of football and Memphis trying to lift up itself using its football program, those were non-starters. But a world where Memphis gets to play in the Pac-12, football only, and gets to play basketball in the Big East is a world that I want to live in, considering all the other opportunities are not really on the table right now. Obviously, if you get to the Big 12, you get to the ACC, that's the end-all, be-all. That's what you want to get done. But if there is a scenario out there that Ed Scott and the administration can make happen where you get to go to the Pac-12, play those schools in football, and play the Big East in basketball, I am all for it, and I think it would be a great thing.
I do too. If they could pull this off, it would be a big deal for the University of Memphis, because we know that one of the big issues that Ed Scott is trying to figure out now is how to get Memphis into a better conference for football and basketball. If that means that they have to go to different conferences, that means they have to go to different conferences if that's the way it needs to go. The Big East would be a very fun one for Memphis basketball to be in, and then the Pac-12, the new Pac-12, I think would be an interesting one for Memphis football to be in. But we know that one of the reasons they had to say no to the proposal when it happened a few months ago was the cost of Olympic sports and the cost of travel going across the country. I think that some people forget every once in a while when we're discussing this that it's not just about Memphis football and it's not just about Memphis basketball. All the other sports would have been included in that deal as well. And the cost of travel for is unreal.
Affording 12 football games or 6 football games a year traveling out to the West Coast is different than buying 40, 50, 100 plus flights throughout the year on volleyball and all these different baseball, all these different sports. That's completely different. You can afford 6 games per year, but when you're dealing with all the other sports having to go out there, it gets way too pricey. It's out of their price range.
Right now on Memphis Athletics website, they have 18 sports listed. 18 sports listed. That is the cost that you would have to cover. That is a ton of sports. And to be quite honest, I have some experience as an SID. It's not cheap getting teams across the country. It is difficult to do when you can't just take a bus to a different school.
All right. Now, this one made me really also despise the spot they're in right this second. John Canzano, within this report, brought up other teams and where they could land in certain situations. He said that he expects the AAC, the American Athletic Conference, to add Air Force if UNLV decides to go to the Pac-12. So then you would have all the service academies and all the service academy fans, and I get that part of it if you're the AAC. But from a football perspective, God, I hate that so much. You'd have 3 triple option teams that you could play in a given year. That is unserious. I'm sorry. I love the academies. They had really good years last year, Navy and Army. They were phenomenal. But other schools having to deal with that week in, week out, it's just not fun at all. I hate the idea of adding another triple option school to that football conference. And obviously they wouldn't give anything in basketball if they were a full sport, a full member. I don't understand the AAC, whether it was Tim Pernetti or, Mike Oresco before him. The complete insistence on getting all of the, military schools. I don't really like it from a revenue standpoint. Generating revenue is what you're supposed to be doing. You're not adding much when you add those schools into the fold.
I also think it matters when we're talking about trying to get people to games and the product that's actually on the field. Listen, the triple option may be an effective way to play football. It's a boring way to play football.
Yes.
And people aren't going to want to go out and watch triple option 3 times in a season.
No, I would be, if I saw all 3 of those schools on my schedule in a given year, I would opt out of the season. I would not want to play that. Like, that's ridiculous to me. It's just an unserious way to go about things. You create an unserious feeling around your football product. I hate to put it that way, but that's how I feel. Now, we do have one game tonight in the NBA playoffs, and the Warriors are trying to take a 2-0 lead without Steph Curry on the road against the Timberwolves. Timberwolves, 10.5-point favorites with Steph Curry out. And, you know, I just look at the Warriors over the years and the straight-up reliance they've had on Steph Curry. Yeah, that's one thing. But he's never been hurt in a playoff situation, by my knowledge, if my memory serves me correct. Maybe one game or two games here and there, but Draymond Green's had suspensions. Kevin Durant had the Achilles. Klay Thompson was out for multiple years in the playoffs. They have never had to go out there and perform at the highest level in the NBA playoffs without Steph Curry as their main guy. They've never really been in this situation. It's going to be really fun to watch tonight.
It looks like the only other injuries I was able to find was he was banged up in 2016 before the NBA Finals. He had an ankle sprain early on in the playoffs, and then in 2018. But it says both times that just Steph Curry missed time, but they were able to make the NBA Finals. It's like, I wonder why. It's because they had, you know, arguably some right. of the best teams ever assembled. But no, yeah, it's like really the first time post-KD, post-Clay that they have dealt with the Steph Curry injury. And I think that Parker hit the nail on the head. The thing with Steph Curry is he has so much gravity
yeah.
when he is out there on the court. Maybe the most gravity of any player in the NBA. When he has the basketball across half court,
you can't,
he can score.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
you literally,
he crosses half court.
You cannot give him any space anywhere on the floor.
Nowhere. He's going to, because he can make the shot. He has proven he can make the shot from anywhere on the court. So he provides open shooting for his teammates, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Warriors try to adjust without his gravity being out there. There's a video going around right now that the Warriors are warming up. One of their ball boys is wearing
I saw that.
A Rudy Gobert
Draymond Green was shooting
jersey.
Threes.
That's incredible.
With Rudy Gobert's jersey right in front of him.
The Warriors annoy the hell out of me, and Draymond's a jackass, but that's pretty funny. Like that,
yeah.
Fueling yourself with that much hatred by making one of your ball boys wear a Gobert jersey while you're warming up, that's the type of lunacy that I would also want on my team.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
the type. That's sports crazy.
Listen, when the Grizzlies
can be
were,
so funny.
When the Grizzlies were involved with Draymond Green, I always advocated for it.
Yeah. Well, that's
I just
like,
can't stand when he plays for the Warriors and does it for somebody else.
Just insane.
But everybody's going to discuss Jimmy Butler. It's like, oh, Jimmy Butler has to go, you know, nuclear for this Warriors team to win any of these games without Steph Curry. It's way more about them junking up the game defensively, no? Because I don't know if they should think about...
Or is it as simple as the Timberwolves making threes?
Yeah, well, they were 12 for 76 the
right.
last two games.
Right.
The worst mark.
Them and the Celtics.
But I think in a general sense, like, if we're talking about keys, way more than Jimmy Butler going off, I think they have to junk up the game. I don't think
grind
in a normal situation... Yeah. If all things are relatively equal, I just don't see them being able to keep up with peak Timberwolves offense.
I tend to agree with you. If they can slow the game down and make it a rock fight very similar to like it was in game one,
yeah.
they'll have a shot.
And they've done a good job of that in the Rockets. They did it well in the Rockets series.
Very much
and
so, yeah.
They did it well in game one.
The Rockets series really prepared them to play the Timberwolves.
It kind of did. It kind of did. But I don't know if they were prepared to play it without Steph Curry.
I think that's a fair take.
Yeah, for sure.
Good analysis.
All right, Small Talk is on the way. Stick around. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, there's obvious stakes in the NBA playoffs when it comes to round two. Celtics lost game two, and now they're going to MSG down 0-2. I mean, it's absolutely brutal. But there were also some other stakes for Paul Pierce, former Celtic. He said on his show that if the Boston Celtics lost game two, he would walk to the studio to do his show. Would walk all the way. So, of course, the Celtics lost, and Paul Pierce made good on his promise. This was a 7-hour, 15-mile journey. He walked all the way in his robe to the studio to do his show. I'll give him credit for you know, making good on his promise, but that's a little much. That's a little much for Paul Pierce.
I kind of love it. He made the promise. He had a fun moment on the show, and then he played into the joke And he said that I'm called the truth. I'm called the truth. I tell the truth. So I'm going to walk to the studio. It would be much easier, like, for you to do that.
And oh, God, said, yeah.
Like, it would
yeah.
be it'd be a little bit
I
easier.
I should probably walk every day.
No, but I'll call you and say, are you okay?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I can't imagine how he was reacting last night when that comeback was happening.
Knowing
that he was going to have to do his seven-hour walk.
I have been waiting for the Bill Simmons podcast to drop. I cannot wait. It's going to be amazing. It was fun to listen to after they dropped game one. After this one, I wonder if it's just going to be dead air. Welcome to the Bill Simmons podcast. They're going to play Pearl Jam, and then it's just going to be silence.
My biggest thing for Bill Simmons is I just want to hear the conversation he has around Jason Tatum, because we know, I mean, good Lord, that show praises him more than anybody, any show in America. I want to hear the conversation. I want to hear how real that gets.
I wonder what he's going to say about Mazzulla, too, because he's never really been he wasn't a fan of Mazzulla, then he won him over, and then I just think he's been kind of not great in the playoffs. So I'm curious to see, because I think Parker had a good point. Like, the Knicks perimeter defenders are difficult to get around. Driving to the rim is easier said than done. But just settling over and over for a step-back three because you're saying, like, well, they have good defenders. It's like, well, if only there was somebody's job that is standing on the sideline that's supposed to come up with, I don't know, these things called plays that get you to the rim.
I don't expect him to do much different, even going into game three. The messaging after the game has been, well, we're getting open looks. We're just not hitting them.
But you weren't even getting open looks. I think that was the problem.
There were some open looks.
Some were, but a lot were they recovered.
But the one thing that does bother me, there's a still shot, and it's Al Horford and Jason Tatum in a two-on-one, and the Knicks defender is laying on the ground. Jason Tatum has a chance to drive directly to the rim with nobody in front of him or take a three, and what did he do? He settled and clanked the three. Like, that's what bothers me.
Right.
When you have open looks, if you have a driving lane, take it and go. That team is frustrating. They're a frustrating watch because you know how talented they are, but they
one of the more frustrating 60-win teams probably we've ever seen.
For sure. All right, now hour number three is on the way, and we'll open it as we normally do on a Thursday. That's Kyron Samuels. He's next. We'll talk some NFL and college football.